Well, hey guys, this is Joey and Ray with Senior Marketing Specialists, and this is A Human Connection. I have been extraordinarily blessed over my career to meet some really fascinating and successful people, and I get to now bring those conversations to you. So I hope that we can all learn and grow from each other. I hope you enjoy. I am very honored today, as we've talked on all the other different podcasts. I try to bring in a variety of different people from this industry that I love so much and has been so good to me. And today I'm super honored to be talking with one of the top agents, not just with us or in Missouri, but in the country when it comes to Medicare. And I know you guys are going to be fall in love with Dee like her clients do. And when you hear her story and hear her passion for this industry. So let's jump right in. This is Dee Forshey, co-owner of Ming Senior Services here in Missouri. But tell everybody a little bit about yourself, Dee, and what you're doing now, and maybe a little bit about your background.
Well, I'll start with background. I started in my young life just kind of always in some kind of a management role, like office manager, general manager. But I And who picks this really? How many people pick this? But that's kind of, I fell into it. And I felt that every 3 years or 4 years, I'd get bored. And I'd go to another industry, do the same thing, but a different industry. Learn that industry, get bored, move on. I've worked for an auto body shop. I've worked for a hotel. I could name off, you know. And then about the mid 80s, I became office manager of a PPO plan and health insurance. And I never got bored again.
Yeah.
I'd like to get bored. It's just so fast. It's like, how can you ever get bored? Exactly. And so I think anybody that likes to have a lot of stimulating things going on is a perfect industry to choose. And what's interesting is back then, insurance agents didn't really have a great reputation. It's like a salesman kind of thing. But I think that's changed over the years. We've learned in our industry to specialize, to find your niche. And, you know, I've done like most insurance agents that sell health insurance. I've been through the small group, the individual policies, the Medicare, and doing it all. But when Jim and I partnered and formed Ming Senior Services 14 years ago, we decided that's why we named it that. Senior services, because that's what we wanted to focus on. And it's been the best decision ever made. Prior to that, I worked for Blue Cross for 14 years. I worked for two different PPO plans. So, you know, I was very lucky. I got to learn all different sides of the health insurance other than being a doctor or a nurse or work in a provider's office. I've worked in the insurance side. I've worked in the agency side, the insurance provider relations side. So it kind of gives you a different angle. Every time you're looking at it, it's a different angle. Helps you understand how it works more, I think. So anyway, that's pretty much me.
Well, that's got to be a huge benefit in your day-to-day life now of having been on that other side or been on the carrier side and seeing the things from their angle, seeing things from the client angle, from your employees, you and Jim as business owners. And so I think you kind of have to come at running a business like that if you're very linear and don't have any sort of vision of what happens outside of me sitting across the table from this person, then it probably does get very frustrating. And
it's hard.
Yeah.
I think my best experience was when I worked for Blue Cross because I had to learn all different aspects of running an agency and helping the agents that were under me do it. So I learned how to advertise. I learned how to brand yourself. I heard, you know, how to make the sale, how to learn the product, how to process the app and all the little stuff that adds up. So I really give them a lot of credit for educating me. It's been quite a road.
I agree. And I think that I love your comment about insurance agents maybe didn't have the best of reputations when you first started in this industry to now. What do you think that is? Why do you think that is? What is the industry or the carrier or the agent themselves? You know, we've always talked about our agents as advisors and experts and they should be treated in the same way as a doctor or a lawyer or a mechanic or anybody else that you trust that you go see. I think a lot of it, and then I'll shut up and let you answer my question. I think a lot of it falls on us as, or the individual agent themselves maybe didn't see them mm-hmm. themselves that way, right?
I think so. Yeah. You pretty much said it. I mean, we used to be a 2-martini lunch and spend the afternoon on the golf course kind of reputation. Mm-hmm. And I think technology has had something to do with that. You have to understand. I think people have, as we've grown up, our 65-year-olds today are way more educated. I'm gonna say this differently. More technologically educated than in the past. And so they expect more. They want you to understand how to click on this and click on that and find them an immediate answer and can't fake it. They can see right through fake in 2 seconds. So you got to know what you're doing. You got to really learn you got to know.
Exactly.
You can't fake it.
I was talking to somebody the other day about, the information age and how it's not that we don't have the information. It's almost sometimes we have too much information. And I think sometimes people fear that if our clients can go to Medicare.gov and Google, what is the difference between F and G and Medicare supplement versus Medicare Advantage? Why do they need us, right? I would almost agree. I would almost say the opposite is true, because there's so much information out there. They need somebody like you to guide and advise. And it's not
very, very true. However, we're also in the age where people, and COVID didn't help this at all, but people want to go online and not spend an hour or two in somebody's office. Yep. So there's two things going on. I think, yes, exactly what you said, but I think also we have to be aware of the fact that they could easily do that, learn it themselves, click on a button and be done with it and not have to waste half a day to get to your office or you to them or whatever. So how do you do all that and be a success? I think it's all about reputation.
Yep.
Seniors are absolutely the most loyal customers you'll ever find.
Yep.
They're also the most expecting. So you have to follow through. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you don't know, you can't pretend like you know. You have to be honest. Like I said, you can't fake it. Can't fake it. So for us, we have about 85% of our business now is through referrals, which is a huge percent, but that doesn't stop us from advertising. So you got to advertise too. You got to have your name everywhere. If you don't, then it's easy to forget. But when I cannot tell you how many customers have said, everybody tells me to come here.
Aww.
But they might not have if they haven't seen it on the paper and the billboard and so on and so on and so on. So you can't just expect everything to work. You have to work at it. That makes
sense. So I love, we're going to tear apart a lot of that, but there's several things in there that I loved. One, I think many businesses or people get advertising wrong, thinking it is just for new people. I better advertise so I can continue to get new people, where advertising is just as much to make sure that your current clients know that they made the right decision, right?
Yeah, that it's a comfort level. Oh, good. They're still here. Oh, good.
Yeah.
They're still big enough to advertise.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like you said, comfort that you see that name everywhere you go, or you see the advertising pieces come through the mail. That is a comfort. So let's back up and talk about 85% of your business is through referral, which is amazing, by the way. I know there isn't a secret to that other than what we probably just said, that it's doing what you say you're going to do. It's fulfilling promises. It's taking care of your people. But there's got to be a magical formula in addition to that. Or is that the secret?
Well, I think it's everything we've already talked about. I mean, honestly, you've got to really know your product.
No.
You've got to be honest with your customer. If they come into your office and they say, should I stay on my group plan? And it's better for them to stay on their group plan. You have to tell them,
stay on
your group plan. You have to be there. And you said it earlier, you've got to be a consultant. You've got to be an educator. You can't be a salesperson. I'm not a salesperson. If anybody knows me outside of the office, they would know I'm not a salesperson. I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you sign up for Medicare if I need to help, get you to the website, show you how to do it. I'm going to help you get the right information from your group plan so that we can talk about it. Mm-hmm. You just got to be a down-to-earth consultant. And when that comes back tenfold, I'm not, I don't have a chalkboard where I'm marking everything. Oh, saw five people today. Dun, 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 dun. You know, it's not about that. If I see 10 people in a day and I don't make a sale, that's not my goal. I know the olden days, insurance agents, you had to see so many people a day. You had to connect with two of them, blah, 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 blah. It's not like that anymore. Yep. You have to be the advisor, and it's not about you. It's about them. And that also is important. I mean, don't ever make them feel like what you have to say is more important than what they want to ask.
Absolutely. Because they're coming in with their glasses on and their perspective on their family, their health, their finances, their...
Yeah. You got to try and put their shoes on while they're sitting in your office. Think about it. It's pretty confusing. Medicare is confusing. It shouldn't be this confusing, but it can be depending on their situation.
Right.
So I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, but I have plan D. Well, no, that's part D, not plan, how do you get through all that if you've never dealt with it before? Yeah. It's hard.
Which is where, again, that's security to me. Of confusing Medicare continues to make it. The more we need you, the more we need you. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I feel sorry for them, but then I think if it was easier, I probably wouldn't be as successful as I am.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't agree more. And your story reminded me, I tell this story a lot. So those of you that heard it, I apologize. But I just think it's so important. Everything you just said, I was in an interview, this probably been 4 or 5 years ago. And it was a group of agents, and this agent had gone from nothing, like barely making it to feed the family, to within about a year's time, number one on the podium, whatever group he was with. And so he was being interviewed, what was that difference? 1 year, was it just you got better? Was it more experience? Was it seeing more people? All the magical, the 10-5-1, all the numbers were all taught over the years. And he said, I'll tell you the exact moment that it changed. He said, I know the exact moment that it all changed was when I finally realized it's not about me making a sale. I have to walk into every home or every single situation with what's best for that client. And he said, mm-hmm. The day that I did that, my sales went up, my comfort level and my confidence went up. I was educating more. People were buying more. But that's just exactly what you just said.
And it's very true. And what's really interesting is that you have to somehow be able to read your customer, and kind of get a feel for what type of personality they are. There are sometimes people come in the office and you just don't click, and that's what's nice about having a partner who's a little bit opposite of you.
Great. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second. You probably have tons of funny client stories and silly things that have happened over the years, embarrassing things probably with clients over the years, but having a partnership. And again, we're talking about people. We're not talking about sales and quotas and numbers. We're talking about people here. So anytime you're talking about people and the amount of people that you have to see to do what you do in your community, there's going to be some that maybe you don't want to come into the office. We've had that conversation with agents before. It's kind of uncomfortable, but that's reality. There's going to be some clients that you just don't click with. There's going to be some that male, female might have a preference of who they're listening to or who they're taking advice from. They may think so. They probably don't, but they may think so in the beginning. Any awkward or silly, funny stories over the years you can think of with clients?
Oh, gosh. Not off the top of my head, but it happens all the time. It's just, you have to be able to adjust yourself to if artery clogging presentation or just the things you're required to say.
Yeah.
And some people don't, clock's ticking. They want in and out as fast as you can. Well, there's stuff you have to say, but you don't have to go all flowery about it. So you just kind of have to adjust yourself. And sometimes that doesn't even work. And if it doesn't work, then the next time they come in, they see somebody else. And we want them happy. I mean, we want you happy. We don't we don't want you uncomfortable with your insurance. We want you to be happy with your choice and know that you can call us. And that's the other thing, you know, so important for our office. And that's probably the biggest part of what's helped us grow. You know, Jim and I both were very good at relating to our customer. But we're there to enroll you in a plan that's good for you, that's going to be a good fit, that your doctors, that your prescriptions, so on, everything fits well. But what happens after that?
Right.
What if you lose your ID card? What if your doctor stops seeing the plan? What if? So we have customer service gals, and I'm telling you what, that is so important. That's a comfort level for the customer that even if I'm out of town or I'm too busy, I've got appointments all day, I can't see them or I can't talk to them, they don't have to wait 24 hours or 2 hours to talk to somebody about their problem. So it's really, really, you know that you've got a great staff yourself. That's key to everything. If a customer calls in and isn't felt, how do you like to call AT&T? How do you like to call Charter? No fun, but you know, we don't want anybody to feel that way when they call us. We want them to feel like, wow, so glad I had somebody to talk to and dealt with it and documented it and got back with me. It's very, very important.
It's the little things like you just said, but we sum it up and your staff is very similar too, but it's just that we care. We care when that, in our world, the agent calls in your world, when that customer calls in, that one, thank you for calling, because in this day and age, in this world, there's lots of clicks they could do that don't involve us. So thank you, first of all, for calling and reaching out to us and thinking that we could help you. Now let's help you. We want to make sure that this gets resolved today and just care.
And it's genuine. It's got to be genuine.
It's got to be genuine. You're the same way. You can't teach that. You can teach the product. You don't have to hire somebody that has a Medicare background or somebody that has an insurance background. You need to hire somebody that has a people background. Genuinely cares about the people and whatever that situation is.
It is able to adjust themselves accordingly. Like if you have somebody call or walk in that can't hear very well, you're not going to shout unless you have to, but you have to be able to shout.
It's
just the love of people.
Sums you up for sure. That reminds me, when you're talking about somebody might be hard of hearing, Dan Mangus did for our staff, this has been years ago, we need to do it again, but I forget what he called it, but a sensory training basically. So for our staff, again, a lot of our agents are seniors as well, but then the ultimate customer we're all serving is that senior client. So we had to, he went through different exercises of walking our very young staff through what it's like if you're hard of hearing.
Yeah.
What it's like if you've had to wait on hold for, you know, however many hours and you know, you're maybe have arthritis, all the different things. Walking is hard. Hearing was hard.
As we get older, we process slower.
The
kids today talk really fast. I've always talked fast. I'm trying not to. I've gotten better a little bit. But for the 20-30-year-olds of today, they sound like it's an overdrive. And so, they have to learn how to talk slowly, say numbers slowly, and that is nothing against seniors. It's just, I can see it in me. I'm getting up there. I don't process as quickly as I used to. And they'll say something like, huh?
I would think, again, it's not necessarily an age thing, but anybody that's in customer support, when I'm getting something thrown at me really, really fast, and maybe I'm trying to write it down, or I'm trying to digest what they're giving me instruction, right? It's something I need when we hang up, I need to go do. If you're coming at me like that, I don't care how old the age factor is, but let alone having a senior, slowing down, making sure that we tell our staff, you probably do too all the time, this may be the 873rd time that you've done this on this website. It's not
the first time they've heard it.
First time they've heard it. It's the first time to go there. Slow down.
Yeah.
So talking about slowing down, we were visiting before we came on just about some of the fun and interesting trends that we've seen over our career and the changes. Tell everybody again kind of what we were talking about of some of the big changes that you've seen. I thought it was a really great analogy.
Well, today on this podcast, there's bad weather all over the United States, including where our office is. And so 7 o'clock this morning, you know, me and the administrator were like texting back and forth. Everybody can work from home and it works. So that's kind of what got this started. But it's interesting how, you know, just 3 years ago, it was hard to make that call not to come in or to come in, whatever. Yeah. And the fact that we can do things on a dime, like you call me, we can deal with it now. They can work from home just as efficiently as in the office, except they don't have a fax machine. Well, that's what started it all. I was a manager of a hotel in St. Louis when the fax machine was invented. Okay, that ages me quite a bit. And so I'll never forget this.
Yeah.
I had all day to get something done and get to somebody that was an important document because I had to go out in tonight's mail. Well, ever since the fax machine, well, don't you have a fax machine? Yeah. Well, can I wait for it? And so that just changed everything ever since the fax machine. And that's been, oh my gosh, I think I was in my 20s when that happened.
That's so true though. But you're absolutely right
about it. Because before that, we had time to digest what we had to do. We had time to think about it. We had time to get it done. We had all day to get it done. And now we have to drop everything and throw it down quick. And but you got to be on it, you know, in today's world. You can't just say, okay, I'll get to it, and then not get to it for a couple of days.
They're waiting.
It's done.
Yeah.
They already got it done. So
it's so funny. I remember, gosh, my early days too of there was a mail call like at 4:30 or something. Somebody would literally get over the announcer or over the loudspeaker and say mail leaving in 10 minutes. And then everybody was like scurrying around. No, shoot, I got to get this. So you're absolutely right. We had all day to get whatever promise delivered. We talked about 8 o'clock this morning. Now, if you say something at 8 o'clock, 8:02, they're expecting it.
Yeah, it's they're the only ones there. But, you know, that's kind of interesting. That's part of what makes you successful, I think, is making your client feel like they are number one. You know, they're the only one you're thinking about. They are the only one you're thinking about right now when you're with them. But they need to feel like that all the time. And so there's a double-edged sword with that. But anyway, that's the challenge.
Yeah. Well, super fun. I'm glad. I'm very thankful for all the advancements that we can be having this conversation here today that we are. So I always wanted to talk to people too that have been that have inspired so many people over their career. You've touched so many different people in all the different aspects of your career. What keeps you going? Like, what's your North Star? Is it a do you love reading? Is it a podcast? Where do you get your inspiration? Talk to us a little bit about what you like there.
Well, I don't know. It's not any one thing. It's everything. Yeah. You know, I mean, I try to keep up with the industry. The older you get, the harder that is, I know. but I like to read, and I go to podcasts from time, not as much, but what I like about them is you can stop them and start them and stop them and start them.
Right.
You know, I think having a great or good or great reputation has always been very important to me. It's guided me from one employer to the next. And so anything I can do for the reputation to stay strong is what I'm going to do. That's just it. I mean, I left one company when my reputation was being soiled because of the way the company was being run. You know, that's it. You can't get that back. Takes a long time to get a good reputation and about 2 weeks to lose it. So I think that respect, that the reputation is what kind of drives me. That sounds crazy, but you have to also love what you're doing. I mean, you have to want to help people.
Right.
If you don't care about people, find something else to do.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of Simon Sinek. I don't know if you've ever read any of his stuff, but he has a book called Find Your Why. Many corporations don't know their why. They know their what, they know their who, but do they really know their why? And I think that's, and what he says is what you're living, which is once you know that, then everything else it's very easy to make a decision. It's very easy to make a decision on this or that when your why is protecting your reputation. Should I do this or should I do that? Should I go here or should I go there? It's very easy. And it just all happens when you have that North Star.
It does. It falls into place.
Yeah. So what do you like? What do you like to read for fun? Is it mystery?
I love murder mysteries.
Oh, there's really good podcasts on those too. Is that the kind of podcast that you like?
No, I've been industry wise with the podcast. But okay. I like my Kindle and I'm kind of run through a lot of books.
Yeah.
Which is funny. I never used to, when I was young, I hated to read, but now I just love to read. So work in the yard, read, shop. Yeah. Mom trained me well. I'm a good shopper.
Awesome. Last question. Who has been your mentor through your career? Is there one person or one thing that you can think of maybe in your life that you've tried to follow?
I don't really have a mentor for the industry, but I have been very lucky to have very good bosses, mostly in the hotel industry, to be honest.
Really?
Absolutely. If you get the right manager, I used to work for a hotel in St. Louis, and the general manager called me in his office and he said, when you're out there at that front desk, you're on stage. They do not care if you're having problems with your boyfriend or if your feet hurt or blah, blah, blah. It's not about you. It's all about them. And once you make them feel important, they're going to come back. And so he says, you got to make it easy for them. So kind of like scouts, you know, keep it simple, make it fun. That's it. You keep it easy for the customer and make it fun for the customer. Why wouldn't they come back? Make it fun. Make it easy. Yeah. So, but I mean, that's any industry really, but, that's where I got most of my desire to put their shoes on.
I used to think I wanted to be in the hotel industry too. In fact, I did my internship when I was in college at a couple of different hotels. And I think that what started me down there was, remember the show, Hotel?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love it.
A lot of drama, but it's fun.
A lot of drama, but the prestige of these beautiful, of course, I was working at a hotel in Kirksville, Missouri. I was going to college, so it wasn't near as prestigious, but that's what it showed, is these beautiful hotels, and everybody was always dressed to the nine, and there was always some fancy event going on, and the people were just so, you know, welcoming and so professional, and I just thought you see different people every day.
All the time.
Always something fun going on. I just thought that's the career path for me.
Well, and it was fun. It really was. Honestly, why I left that industry is because I became a mother and they never closed. So it's pretty hard to have a small child at home when you're, you know, middle of the night or at the
weekend.
Weekends, holidays, but you meet a lot of fun people, interesting people, and you're in charge of making that happen.
And
it's pretty rewarding.
I love that. And so I tried to take some of that anyway into what we do now. And hopefully you get little pieces, no matter where you pick up all your little habits or things that inspire you, then you just bring it with you to your current job. And after the last 2 years, aren't we glad that we're in the industry we're in and not in the hotel industry?
Gosh, yeah.
Boy, even imagine, right?
We've been very, very lucky. And it's kind of forced us, obviously, with a lot of industries, but it's forced us to be able to embrace technology more than, you know, as we get older, it's harder to embrace the technology. But, you know, we're learning how to do that. And that I'm proud of all of us.
Absolutely. No, it's been a great run. So, I appreciate our time very, very much. I know everybody will appreciate getting to know a little bit more behind the scenes, if you will, with Dee, and can't thank you enough for all you do and for all the help that you give out there to all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of customers you see every year.
Well, can I read something? I actually, an hour ago, got an email from a customer and I thought, wow, what timing. I would love, because it kind of puts together everything you and I just said.
I can't wait. Yes, please do.
So it says, main thing is you need to be reminded that you do the right thing for the right reasons. And that's why, and you've done such a great job. People notice and are grateful to you for all your knowledgeable staff, for providing products that work for them. You treat folks like individuals and you treat them with respect and dignity. And I thought, wow, that's perfect. I just got that. Like, wow.
That's why we do what we do, right?
Yeah. I mean, that wow.
You makes it all worth it. Oh, yeah, that's a framer. That makes it all work. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me on this podcast.
Absolutely. It's been a great honor. Appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.